Good morning. What a good morning it has been for me and my soul to stand here and worship the Lord Jesus in song and music, but also to worship Him in fellowship with each of you. That blesses my soul and encourages me each Sunday morning. So I'm very grateful for that valuable gift from each of you for our closeness and fellowship with each other. All right, let's open up our Bibles to John chapter 17. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 11, where Jesus is talking about who belongs to Him and who belongs to the Father. So reading from the 6th verse of the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know the truth, that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those who you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world that I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for this word that you've given us. What encouraging words they are from your voice to us. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do through the preaching of your word, oh Lord. And may, oh Lord, you fill me with your spirit, so that I am preaching only what you want said and nothing else. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, this is a fascinating passage. It's actually kind of sobering to me when we think about us being belonging to Jesus and the Father. And because whatever belongs to the Father belongs to Jesus, and we have Jesus, that means we also have the Father. I don't know about you, but that's just a little bit frightening. Okay, whoa, wait. Ooh, that's a lot of holiness for me to have to come to terms with. That's an awful lot of holiness for me to have to be in front of. And that's an awful lot of holiness to have within me. And I'm just like, whoa. I need just a little bit of space before I can absorb all this. And I've absorbed some of it, and give me a little room to breathe, and then I can take the rest of this holiness that you're bringing into me. And that I'm walking in front of. Even the dogs are being disturbed by the holiness of the Lord. So looking at verse 6, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept my word. All right, so here we see Jesus talking to the Father, and he is on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, if he's not already there at this moment. And he's praying to the Father about his disciples there who are with him. You know, that they were the ones that were given to him by the Father out of the world. They are the ones that have kept his word. And now they know that everything is that you have given Jesus is from you. That's who he's talking about. But yet, we know from this, from the impact of John chapter 17 on church history, that he's really talking about more than just those disciples who are standing there with him. This prayer, this high, what's called the high priestly prayer of John chapter 17, is for all of us as well. Throughout the ages, throughout church history, it's always been for everyone, for all the believers, not just for those disciples that were standing there with Jesus. And so when he says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you given me out of the world, you and I are the people whom the Father has taken out of the world and given to Jesus. Now that raises a fair question. On what basis can I say that you have been taken out of the world and given to Jesus? Well, the first one is because your confession of faith in Christ Jesus as your personal Savior. You have spoken out loud saying that I believe Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for me, and I put my faith in his work alone for my salvation and the forgiveness of my sins. Because you have confessed that, you belong to Jesus. And the God the Father has given you to him from out of the world. The second thing I can look at is your behavior. By the way you fellowship together, by the way you show love for one another, by the way you care and hurt for one another when one is hurting. Like, for example, our brothers and sister Randy and Stephanie. You care for them and are saddened by what they're going through. That is evidence that you have been given to Jesus. Now, someone who's still in the world would just give lip service to caring about them, probably. But they wouldn't actually do something about it. Now, there are some people in the world who actually do care deeply for others and will actually take action on those cares. So I don't want to paint every person who's an unbeliever as someone who's just doesn't care, because that's just false. But we are showing that we care by what we've talked about doing for Randy and Stephanie. By praying for them. By lifting them up. By offering ourselves to them for anything that they need. That's evidence of belonging to Christ Jesus. The other evidence I see that shows a person has been given to Jesus and they are his is their love for the Word. Their desire to read it and understand it and be impacted by it and have a deeper, richer relationship with Jesus through it. And that goes hand in hand with the other evidence I see, which is a genuine love for Christ and caring for him. That's how we can know that someone has been given to the Father, from the Father to Jesus. That this person has been taken out of the world and given to Christ Jesus. But what does it mean to get out of the world? For us to be taken out of the world and given to Jesus, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we don't live in this fallen world anymore. That's obvious. It's kind of disappointing, but that's what the Lord has willed. And it even says later in the passage that they are still in the world, those who've been given to Jesus. So what does it mean to be taken out of the world when we're still in the world? Well, in this particular use and context of Jesus saying the world, he is referring to, how can I put this politely? He is referring to the rest of humanity that does not believe he is the Messiah. And by consequence, everyone who is in the world is in danger of being a child of Satan. First John tells us that there are children of God and children of the devil. Now that passage takes a long time to unpack and to explain what all that means. But at the end of the day, there are some who are belonging to God and some who belong to Satan. And those are the ones who are in the world. That when he talks about the world, he's talking about those who are in the prince of darkness's kingdom. Some are there by choice and willfulness, while others are there by choice, but they don't belong there. There are some people in the world that are just never going to believe in Jesus. And there are some who are looking, they're in the kingdom of darkness, but they're looking and trying to find a way out. And those are the folks we are the most interested in. The folks who are in the kingdom of darkness and they're looking for a way out and to get into the light. And when we find them, we want to speak the truth of the gospel to them, speak the truth of how Jesus has affected and changed you, and offer them the chance to come out of the darkness into the light, to come out of the shadows into the full light of Jesus. We don't want those who belong to God in the kingdom of darkness to stay there. And we were all there, and then God in his goodness and mercy and his love for us plucked us out and set us down into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we believed and walked with Christ Jesus just as we do today. And we belong to Jesus. Then verse 7. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. Why does that matter? Why would Jesus make that statement? What makes it important? Because in this high priestly prayer, everything he prays for is really, really, really big and important. And so in the middle of his prayer, he's saying this about, now they know that everything you have given me is from you. Why does that matter? Well, what has he been given? Us. The context of this prayer is us being given to Jesus. That's why it matters that we know that the Father is the one who gave us to Jesus Christ. Because, as the supreme God of all heaven and earth and our Creator, he is the one whom we most want to please, the Father. And by knowing that we have been given to Jesus from the Father, we can know that our fate is secure in Christ Jesus. We don't have to wonder if we're going to be okay. We don't have to guess at it. We can know it for sure because God the Father gave us to Jesus, and Jesus will keep all that belongs to him. Then verse 8, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So what does this mean? For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. What does that mean? Well, first, it means that Jesus spoke the words that were given to him by the Father. These are the words Jesus has spoken, the words of coming from the Father. Jesus' words carry the weight of God because they came from the Father. And then, those words from the Father have been received by us. Have you received the Word? The Word in capital letters, like at the beginning of John chapter 1, where the Word was one with the Father. And have you received the Word, as in all of these scriptures we have, that came from the Father's voice? I've been working on receiving all the words, and from the words that I've read and understood, I have received them. Now I continue to work on other words and passages and places that I don't know very well to receive the word there. And part of receiving the word is receiving this prayer for us, and for you to take it very personalized as a prayer for you personally. I would even go so far to say that as you're reading it and thinking through it, you could change the you to me. And the they to me. Then read this passage, making the pronouns first person singular, and it has a whole different feel and impact. For example, verse 8, for Jesus has given me the words that you gave to Jesus, and I have received them, these words, and have come to know in truth that you, Jesus, came from God the Father. That prayer just feels differently when it's personalized like that. It feels like he's more personally talking to me, more personally giving me reassurance, more personally giving me endurance. Then verse 9, I am praying for them. Now we're back to Jesus talking. Jesus, Jesus, am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Here again, he reinforces this idea that he's not praying for the world at this moment, but he's praying specifically for us because we have been given to him, because we belong to him. See, God can't give something he doesn't have. For him to give us to Jesus, we have to belong to him. Okay, how do we belong to him? Well, every human being that is, was, and is to come belongs to the Father because he created them. And by being the creator of life and being the creator of new life for those yet to come, he has full ownership over us and them. Therefore, as the one who owns, he can give us to Jesus because we are his. And now we belong to Jesus and we are Jesus's. Doesn't that just bring you peace and comfort? I hope it does, because it should. We belong to Jesus and he belongs to the Father, so therefore the Father belongs to us. and we are his. We are God the Father's, and we are Jesus's. What peace that brings over our souls. What joy it fills our hearts with to know that we belong to him and we are his. Revel in that joy. Revel in it. Then verse 10. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Because everything that belongs to the Father belongs to Jesus, he is now glorified in us. Doesn't that just take your breath away? Jesus is glorified in us being his people, in us being his child, or as in other places the scripture says, our brother. I mean, it takes my breath away to think about that. That I am glorifying Jesus just because I belong to him. Before I ever do anything, before I praise him, before I sing to him, before I pray to him, before I preach in his name, before I've done any of these things, just my existence glorifies the Father and glorifies Jesus. Wow. And so it is with each of you. Before you ever do anything, just your existence as one of his children brings glory to Jesus. Then verse 11, and I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. So here again, Jesus talks about this, how he is no longer in the world because he is coming out of the world in just a very short period of time, in just hours. But they are in the world, meaning you and I. We are still in the world, just as I mentioned earlier. And in this world, we will have tribulation. In this world, we will have difficulties. Some self-inflicted and others, some of times others inflicted. And when we do, we can know this. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me. Keep them in your holy name, which you have given me. So everyone who belongs to Jesus, he has now said, Father, when they are in the world and difficult circumstances come about, keep them, you keep them, Father, for me, Jesus. So you, Father, keep them for me, in your holy name. Think about that for just a second. God the Father, the one who slung the planets into orbit, the one who spoke galaxies into existence, the one who created this earth, causes the rivers to flow, gives food to the birds of the air, and clothes us like the lilies of the valley. That Father is the one who is keeping us. Right this very second, right here as we sit in this room, the Father is keeping us for Jesus. He is holding on to us. He is sustaining us. He is keeping us up. He is keeping us up physically. He's keeping us up spiritually. He's keeping us up emotionally. And he's keeping us up for the coming day when we will glorify him to the fullest in a glorified body in the new heaven and the new earth. But until that time, he has to keep us up here in this world. And then perhaps in verse 11, towards the end, is the most stunning of anything Jesus has said so far in this passage, or even so far in chapter 17. There towards the end, Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that for the purpose of they may be one, even as we are one. Wow. He wants us to be one, all of us, as one person, one body. And he wants us to be his, and us to be his. We are to be one with him and the Father, just as Jesus is one with the Father. I'm going to be one with God. That's essentially what he's saying here, that we are one with God through our faith in Christ. I don't know that I can handle that much holiness. How? How can I approach the Father as being one with him in his greatness and his holiness? I can do it in Christ's righteousness, because Christ Jesus clothes us with righteousness at the time of our salvation. We can get this close to God so that we can be one with him. Wow. And I will say, at times I have felt one with God the Father in Christ Jesus. And those are really wow moments when it happens. The moments and I go, wow, this is being one with you. Thank you. Thank you for this gift. And then it ends. That experience comes to an end, and I'm just kind of back to the normal routines and the normal activities, going on with the rest of my day. But I'm doing it in gratefulness and praise for what just happened. And because it happens so rarely and so infrequently, when it does, this is a special rich moment, one to just grab hold of and savor to the fullest, to drink deep from that cup which he has put to our lips of being one with him. It may just happen once in our lifetime, and it may happen multiple times in our lifetime. I tend to lean towards the multiple times. We may not always recognize this is that moment when we have such richness and fellowship with Jesus and God the Father that we are now one with him. But I tend to believe it happens more often than we probably realize it's happening. And one of the ways I experience it, and I suspect it would be true for you, is when I take steps out in faith to do something he is leading me to do that is uncomfortable and a little bit scary, and I know that I am not prepared for. I mean, so often I stand up here, walk up here onto this platform and stand at this pulpit and go silently, Lord, I am just not able to do this. Even despite my preparation, I'm just not prepared for this. And yet, that's where he meets me. And by walking in faith, you hear the words that are spoken by me in this pulpit. Words meant, and I believe do, lift you up and encourage you, admonish you when you need admonishing, correction if you need correction. Okay, yeah, there's some of you I know need correction every week. I need correction every week too. And sometimes the most difficult thing is to preach this word knowing that I'm not living up to it. But by God's mercy and grace, just like I do Monday through Saturday, well, Sunday afternoon through Saturday, I know I'm not living up to it then either, but by His mercy and grace, He fills me with His Holy Spirit to bring me along into living it. And in my experience, that's the only way we can live and to fulfill this living out the way Jesus and God the Father are calling us to, is through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, pulling us along and giving us the grace and the mercy and the wisdom and the discernment and the will to live out life as He's called us to do it. So that we can be one with Him. What a beautiful, glorious thought. To be one with Him. However, all of this resides upon one thing. Everything I've been talking about here throughout this passage, being given to Jesus out of the world and belonging to Jesus and belonging to Jesus and God the Father and being one with Jesus and the Father, all of that depends on one thing. Faith in Christ alone, by His work on the cross alone, for the glory of God alone. We must put our faith in Jesus and nothing else for our salvation, for our deliverance, to be forgiven of our sins, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to live out as He's called us to live out by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. It starts and begins with faith in Christ, to believe that He is God's Son and God sent Him into the world to save us from our sins by dying on the cross and giving His blood as a blood sacrifice to cleanse us and buy us from the devil and be purchased into the kingdom of God. We were slaves to darkness, and because we are slaves to darkness, the only way we could get out was for Jesus to purchase us, and the only thing He could purchase us with was His perfect, beautiful, unstained, unsinned blood. It's the blood of Jesus that makes everything possible and changes everything about us and everything we live into. And we must put our faith in Him, and that's my call to you this morning. I am unabashedly, unashamedly saying, if you are here and you've never put your faith in Christ, today is the day of salvation for you. Today is the day to say, I recognize that I have not been in the kingdom of light, but I want to be there. And to confess that Jesus is Lord and to ask Him to forgive you of all your sins and to be freed from the kingdom of darkness. Then for those of us who do have our faith in Christ, I'm calling for you too. I'm giving a call to you. And I'm saying, you've put your faith in Christ. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. Get off the X. You know, that spot, the X is a term used in different places and different sections of our society to refer to the spot where you're standing. That's the X. I'm calling you in the power of the Holy Spirit to get off the X. I do not know which direction you should go, but that's what the Holy Spirit is for. The Holy Spirit, if you decide to move off the X, walking in faith, not taking off on your own, the Holy Spirit will guide you into which direction you need to go. And that's what I'm calling you to do. It may be uncomfortable. It may be a little frightening, but get off the X. But you're not getting off the X by yourself. You're not getting off the X by yourself. You're moving with the love of Jesus and the security of knowing that you are His, and that no matter where the Spirit takes you, that's where God the Father wants you to go. Sometimes getting off the X is physically making a decision to do something you've been thinking about, and the Spirit's been leading you to get involved in some activity, maybe here at the church or some other place, that is a sacrificing of yourself for others. Sometimes you need to get off the X spiritually, where you need to take the next step in your growth with Christ and go into something that's a little bit uncomfortable for you to think about. See, the problem with the X is we're comfortable. It feels good and safe to be on the X. Moving off the X spiritually becomes uncomfortable because the Lord is going to draw us out, and He's going to grow us in our faith with Christ, and He's going to grow us in our walk with Christ, and He's going to grow us in our Christian maturity. And growing like that is never comfortable. When we do that, we're going to be challenged with areas of our life that have to be given over to Him and purified. We're going to find that when we do this, get off the X spiritually, and we're trying to grow in our faith, that sometimes it's going to be a great struggle, one where we end up on our face pleading with the Father to take this thing away from us that we've discovered, pleading with the Father to grow us, to give us more love for Him and Jesus. Sometimes it means on our face pleading for the salvation of others. All of that flowing out of the reality that we are His. May you and I ever belong to Jesus and be in Him, walking with Him, filled with the Holy Spirit. May that be true of us from now to the end of time. O Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for the gift of hearing your words this morning that you have spoken to us. O Lord, give us the wisdom. Give us the discernment. Give us the love for you and the joy to enjoy knowing that we are yours and we are one with you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.